We've always been thinking Khufu, 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 Khufu. And then one day we discover a papyrus that literally says it's Khufu.
Which, by the way, I really like this, and I want to highlight this for a second. People claim that archaeology is not a science because it's not repeatable. But this proves that it is. We have a bunch of documents that tell us yes. that Khufu is the builder of it. They all date later. So our hypothesis is, well, this seems right. We have a lot of later documents, but we don't have any documents from the reign of Khufu that tell us it was. We actually do. We have the graffiti inside the papyri, but whatever, the pyramids. But you can still test it with further excavations by seeing what other documents you get. Do they confirm the hypothesis you have or not? And then we find a new papyrus, dates to the period of Khufu, mentions stones being hauled to build the pyramid of Khufu, and it dates it to the 27th year of Khufu. And it's like, this is as replicable as any other field science.
Really? I need to educate a scientist on what replicability means? I do not get paid enough for this. Patreon link down below. Hi, my name is Dan, and welcome to the Dunking. My God. So Flint is really conflating two things here, replicability and predictions. And replicability is just what it says on the tin. It's something you can replicate. If the same circumstances apply, anybody who tries this will get the same result. For example, if the hypothesis that I have is, if I apply 12 volts of electricity to a light bulb, it will glow brighter than if I apply 6 volts of electricity to the same bulb. This is something you can test anywhere on the planet. All right, it will always give you the same result. And you don't need me to tell you this. All you need to do is have me ask the question and you can answer it yourself. That's replicability. And this is really foundational in science. I mean, like a great example of this where it can be used even with something a little bit more ambiguous would be with radiocarbon dating. Like with carbon-14 is the unstable isotope and it will decay into nitrogen-14. As it does so, each individual atom does its own rate, but it does so at a rate of speed that is very constant given as many atoms as there are in any given sample. So you end up with what they call a half-life, right? Which is about how long it takes for it to lose half of it to decay into the nitrogen. So this is something where this is something you could do anywhere. You can replicate this through experimentation, and this is hard science. This is foundational. Now you compare this to predictions. A scientific hypothesis is a guess about the nature of nature, right? So basically you end up with predictions as part and parcel of the hypothesis. It's like packed in, it's baked in because it's part of what the hypothesis is doing. To return to the electricity thing, if my hypothesis is that if I apply 12 volts of electricity, a light bulb glows brighter than if I apply 6 volts of electricity, that is a prediction that you can test as well. And making that prediction, you can use in all manner of applications. But the replicability of that is not inherent with the prediction. I'll give you an example. Say, for instance, you and I are riding in a train, and I'm looking at a tunnel that we're coming towards, and you're looking at me, and we're eating donuts together. And I make a prediction that if you eat the next donut, you're going to not be able to see for 30 seconds. If you take a bite of that donut, because you're like me, and you're like, I'm going to laugh off your warning through the crumbs of this savory sweetness, then you're going to not be able to see for 30 seconds. Does that mean that my prediction was right? Well, yeah, my prediction was right, but does that mean that it was accurate? No, it does not. And that's the difference here. This is really where the fundamental difference is that one of these is basically the logic of the thing, and the other one is the reality of the thing. I know that throwing a baseball through a window will break a window. Not complicated. How big of a baseball, how hard I have to throw it against what size of glass, that's replicable. Okay? It's an easy prediction to make that if I throw a rock at a window, it's going to break. How big that rock has to be, how hard it has to be going, and how thick the glass can be in order for this to occur, that is replicability. One is a prediction. One is something you can repeat over and over and over again. So when Flint says, aha, look, we said that we would find more stuff that dates this to Khufu, and lo and behold, we found more stuff that dates it to Khufu. What he's doing here is saying, congratulations, we made a prediction. But he didn't make a prediction. He's calling it replicable. Like, I can go dig in the ground and find something that proves that it's related to Khufu. What in the fuck is this? Well, there it is. You know, I could tell you more about the difference, but I assume even a child can understand what I've said at this point. To you parents out there, maybe don't let your children watch my videos until you've vetted them first. I use some metaphors and some language sometimes that would make Soldier Boy cringe. And, you know, I ramble a lot.
If I actually start with this Easter Island clip, because it just
rambling
and whatever Dan is, it just sounds like some college kid, like, just rambling.
Here's the thing. This is really bad. I mean, Flint is basically completely ignorant of the scientific method, or he's lying to the public. And he's doing so in order to placate his ego. And I'm quite certain the man's not so stupid he doesn't understand the difference between replicability and predictions. The thing is, he wants archaeology to be a science so bad, and he knows that it's lacking. He knows that there is no replicability in that part of archaeology. When you start making a narrative, when you start saying, ergo begat ergo, you cannot... Or so-and-so begot so-and-so, ergo begot. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, scratch that. You can't make a statement like that and call it scientific, okay? I can't say if you go to the store today, you're going to find groceries. That's not a scientific statement. It's a predictive statement, and it's most likely accurate, but it has fuck all to do with science, and it's certainly not replicable. If you live in certain places, you won't find groceries at the store, right? I mean, this is just a spitballed example. But this is the kind of thing that you're going to get from somebody who thinks that the public is completely ignorant and they don't understand the difference between one field of study and another.
But they're filled with all this rhetoric that's anti-experts, anti-scholars, anti-intellectuals. So it's feeding people this kind of rhetoric very knowingly. And it acts as kind of, I think, a gateway to more subversive conspiracies that will lead people to not getting vaccines for their kids.
The thing is, Flint, we are acutely aware of the differences in different fields of study and their standards of evidence. We know that some of you guys out there don't really have hard data to work with by comparison. We know that some of you out there don't have replicability. What the problem here is, you can't LARP as a scientist and think that we actually understand better. So you're going to go around and actually sidecar yourself onto actual science, complain that people like us questioned all scientists because we questioned you. And it's like, dude, you're the fucking problem as far as I'm concerned. I'm not questioning other people when I'm questioning you. I'm questioning you. Why don't you know the difference between replicability and predictions? What's your problem there, Flint? Now, don't conflate this with me saying I'm a flat earther. Don't say that this is me some being an anti-vaxxer. What's your fucking problem, Flint? This is the deal. You won't be able to stick to that. Instead, you're going to switch it to this guy's just a science denier, and you're the one that sidecarred your fucking clown show onto real science. I warned you, parents. So though the real science looks like a fucking joke because it allows you dickheads to sidecar yourself onto their show. What they need to do is push you guys out, but you're a bunch of vehement little twats on the internet, and you get all angry and fight with people, and you're vitriolic, and you do shit, you manipulate Wikipedia and fucking AI search results, and all. You play all the underhanded games, ask Tom Dillahay, and then you guys are like, oh, well, why don't people like scientists? Well, you can probably get away with this kind of shit when you think we're all stupid, though, can't you? It's like, in your mind, this just works out. I don't know any better anyway. This is ridiculous. So anyway, this is why I started making videos to begin with, by the way, for those of you who are like, why is Dan yelling at these guys so much lately? This is why my channel is called Dedunking. I attack debunkers that are fucking wrong as wrong can be. And somebody calling themselves a scientist that is not a scientist, that claims to be fighting with pseudoscience, is literally as wrong as a debunker can be. Anyway, thank you very much. I'm going to be in Austin here in October. It's going to be a much bigger conference this time. Please come and check it out. There's links down below. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be in Serpent Mound here shortly as well. I'll put a link down there for you to check that out. It's going with the Grimerica show crew, and that's going to be fucking awesome as well. There's also links to support the channel if you just want to give me money or send me pictures of your mom on the toilet. Any of these things work. Just don't send me pictures of Flint on the toilet. All right. Thank you very much and have a good day.